Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Prey Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 202 of Nerd Pride Radio. 202, that's the area code for Washington, D.C., 202. In fact, it's actually one of the original 86 area codes established by AT&T in 1947. Now, that was 86 area codes for all of North America, not including Alaska and Hawaii because they weren't states yet. But 9 of those went to Canada, so the remaining 76 is scattered around America. And here's where I got really interested in this. There are 14 states at the time, out of the 48, that had more than one area code, which kind of gives you a clue about what the population of the states were at the time. This was 70 years ago in 1947. And so here's the deal. New York was in the lead. New York had 5 area codes for the state of New York. All right. Probably the most populous state at the time. I haven't looked it up. I don't know. Texas, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois all had 4 area codes. But the one that killed me, California and Iowa both had 3. 3 area codes for California and Iowa. I mean, Iowa today has just over 3 million people. California has 4 million people just in Los Angeles. California is our most populous state. That just floored me, all right? So, and, you know, you always think of California, it's our most populous state, one of the more liberal states, and so you think of the power California has in the House of Representatives, in the Electoral College, this kind of thing. But 70 years ago, it was on par with Iowa. Wow. No offense to anyone from Iowa. I'm from Nebraska. We got less people than you, so, you know, at least you have the Iowa caucuses, so, you know, you got something, right? Anyway, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
Surprise, I'm here too. How are you?
I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a Pathfinder / Starfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like 7 other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like that faint sulfur and vinegar smell of a failed scrying spell.
Or the failed sulfur and vinegar spell of a science fair volcano.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. That's true, too. A really, really badly done science fair volcano. All right. No time for preliminaries. Let's get straight to the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list, and then the best stuff off of this list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. Now, the master list is still jam-packed full. I had this jam-packed episode last week to try and empty out all that stuff. I've got so much stuff there, but I may not get to any of it other than our first segment because it's a weird weekend and I'm kind of on limited time. So Aiden and I are sitting down here to record this first segment together, and then if I get time to record the rest of the episode, I will do that later and we'll have a full, extra long, you know, jam-packed episode. But if I don't have time later, you guys may just get this abbreviated version, but at least you get Aiden, and that makes up for stuff, right? Right. So maybe I'll be back with more stuff after this, maybe not, but I'll turn it over to Aiden. Go ahead, kid.
All right. And now it's time for yet another 80s movie that my dad swears used to be wicked awesome.
It was awesome in the 80s, but not anymore. It was awesome in the 80s, but not today.
Yes, this is awesome in the 80s. My dad, who is old, picks out a movie from the 80s that he loved back when he was a kid. Then we watch it together, and I tell him why he's wrong. Dad, tell me what we're watching this week and why it was awesome in the 80s.
Okay, we watched An American Werewolf in London.
No, whoa. American Werewolf in London.
We watched An American Werewolf in London, which which in the 80s, the movie was really, really cool. I loved the movie in the 80s. I thought it was a great, simple story, and it included what were cutting-edge special effects for the day. The transformation scene is
for the day? Those were spectacular practical effects now.
Right, like when the bear head is just shoved from off screen.
I'm talking about the transformation scene.
Yeah, no, the transformation scene where he first transforms into a werewolf was and is still iconic for this pinnacle, masterful use of practical special effects. It is one of those things that's listed along with John Carpenter's The Thing and stuff like that that show the height of practical effects. And apparently, Aiden was kind of impressed with them, so that was cool.
When you blow 2/3 of your budget on one scene, it better well be iconic.
Right. That's very true. And the other thing that made this movie awesome in the 80s, which I understand does not necessarily carry forward, is that I saw it when I was like 13 or 14.
And he was disappointed that he didn't get to see all them movies.
Wait, whoa. Hold on. When I was 13 or 14, I remember the sex scene in this movie being very steamy, and I remember there being a lot of booby shots.
Yeah?
And now...
And he was verbally complaining to me because he couldn't find them.
And then we go watch the movie now, and it's like, wait a minute, that was like just a brief flash of a nipple. What was I so excited about? I mean, I guess because I was 13 or 14 and there was no internet back then. But, man, this... The amount of nudity in this movie has really been inflated in my mind in the 3.5 decades since I last saw it.
But so he whined the entire time. Like I'm just waiting for it. I mean, I swear there was more boobs than this.
Yeah, I did. I whined about it. I'm like, what, did they edit this version? What is this? Seriously, did Netflix edit it? Because I remember there were a lot more boobies than that. And as it turns out, no, there weren't. I checked. And it turns out that, no, that was the original.
He took it frame by frame.
The original amount of boobies was still included in the Netflix version, and it's not particularly a long nor overly graphic or steamy sex scene. The nudity is, you know, there's a lot of implied nudity, and then there's this brief flash of nipple, and then that's it.
In a porno theater.
There is a porno theater, and you get lots of boobs in frame. Not the part that, as a kid,
can we talk about how the porno really theater may have had the best joke in the entire movie?
Oh, go ahead. We'll skip ahead.
So, like, they're in the porno theater, and he's, the main guy, spoilers, is talking to some ghosts. And then it clips to what they're watching, and it's just two people going at it. And then a big burly dude bursts through the door and shouts, "I thought you said you'd never do this again." And the guy shouts, "I never said such a thing." And he's like, "I wasn't talking to you." And the woman says, "I've never met you before in my life." And the burly man says, "Oh, sorry, my mistake." And then leaves.
That was pretty good. So it
was so random.
There was so much humor included in this movie that It was like that. I mean, the scenes with his zombie/ghost friend showing up to talk to him, the scene in the porno theater, it was very, very lighthearted and had a lot of humor behind what essentially turned out to be really torturous and horrible. Because here's the thing, is that it was, the whole plot of this movie is two college kids hitchhiking through the moors of northern England, and they are accosted by a werewolf, and one dies and one is taken to hospital, and ultimately it turns out that he is a werewolf, and so here's his dead friend visiting him, explaining to him that he's a werewolf, lays the whole curse out for him and says, "Look, I am doomed to walk the earth until you die, so you need to kill yourself, dude." And then he winds up murdering a bunch of people, and then they all show up to tell him, dude, you got to murder yourself. And then he never does murder himself, and eventually the police take him out. But in between all of that, he winds up going home with the hot nurse from the hospital, and we have the aforementioned sex scene, and then there's a bunch of really silly stuff.
A distinct lack of nipple.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, there's the comedy when he's waking up naked in the wolf pen at the zoo, and he has to make his way home naked and steals balloons from a small child, and there's all sorts of really funny bits in it that are juxtaposed against the, again, horror of it's a werewolf, and he's a werewolf who needs to die because otherwise his friend and all the people he's murdered are doomed to walk the earth forever, their souls being cursed.
It was really polarizing.
Yeah, it was, very dark and yet very light at the same time, which here I personally thought was a good mix.
Yes.
I thought this worked well. I've seen other movies of the era, and this was 1981. I've seen other movies of the era where they tried to pull it off. I can't remember which one it was, if it was Last House on the Left, if it was one of something named like that, where, I mean, there's this horrifying graphic rape and torture scene. I mean, terrifying. And there are multiple scenes like that where terrible, horrible things happen. But then also in the middle of the movie, there's like a Keystone Cops style chase scene where the dumbass sheriff and his dumbass assistant are chasing him around, and they're playing, you know, Dukes of Hazzard music in the background, and it was weird. All right, so, but this one, that totally irrelevant. This one, an American Werewolf in London, pulled it off, I thought. So when we watched it back, like I say, there were some crappy effects.
Yeah.
So, for example,
whenever the werewolf would attack anyone, they'd take this, like, backed up shot where you saw the wolf, quote, head, except it was very still, so it looked like someone had a mounted bear head off camera that they just took, like, from a hunting lodge and just rammed it into the person.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. And when I saw it, I mean, my first thought was, wow, okay, that was fakey. But, yeah, Aiden immediately was like, what the hell was that? Did someone just hold up a bear head and slam it into this guy's rib cage? What the heck? Cause, and that was every wolf attack that they had, is it looks like this.
Marg!
Clearly it was supposed to be a giant wolf head, but I mean, it looks for all the world like they've got a mounted bear head on a stick that they just jam at the person. And then the minute it makes contact with them, boom, camera clips away to something else while you hear horrible, slaying noises in the background.
Feasting.
And it was, oh god, yeah, feasting. And it was terrible. It was, because, and it was obviously the exact same head every time they had to do this shot. So they have this one non-animated head that somebody just rams into your side, and then they have to clip away so they can then hear you screaming. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
So back on track. So we did the movie.
Yeah.
So we watched it. People we recognize from this movie.
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. Ready? The main guy, the werewolf,
yeah.
David. He was played by David Naughton. Yeah, he's looking at me blankly. David Naughton, he was a guy who, I'm lost on this one too. I know he was in some Dr. Pepper commercials, back in the 80s.
Wow, I would know those.
And he sang, I'm a pepper. So, I'm a pepper, you're a pepper, he's a pepper, she. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Be a pepper drink.
I have never been so ashamed of you.
I'm ashamed of me too. That's really, I mean, I know he did other stuff. I looked him up on IMDb, but I don't recognize anything at all that he's done. I just remember Werewolf, and Dr. Pepper commercials.
Good job catching yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about Werewolf?
We will never address it.
Okay. So. Then there was, his best friend Jack was played by Griffin Dunn, who he was the guy who played, Johnny Dangerously's little brother in the movie Johnny Dangerously. He was, okay, that's it.
Oh,
that's,
no, I have seen Johnny Dangerously.
Yeah, he was the little brother. He was the goody-goody little lawyer brother. Yeah,
all
that's,
right,
that's
I got
the
you
one
now.
Person you would recognize.
Wow, and that's also really obscure, too.
Well, I'm sorry you've seen Johnny Dangerously, because as I was preparing for this, I thought, God, this would be a great one to watch, too.
It's been at least 10 years.
We might try that one again, because I love
it's
Johnny
Dangerously.
It's
been a long time. I remember
I have such
two
fond
lines,
movies of that film.
And one of them is Once.
Yeah, Once. It's an 88 Magnum. It shoots through schools.
I see we have one more name on this
list.
Yes,
and then the last one is Jenny Agutter, who played Nurse Alex Price.
Okay.
She was, all right. She's the one who, she was the really, the hot girl from Logan's Run when he chose her from the dating machine and then they ran away together. And she was the main girl from Logan's Run. I know you've never seen Logan's Run. Logan's Run, about a supposedly utopian society of the future where, everybody has to die when they turn 21 or 25 or whatever the age limit is. Yeah, you go and you face the machine and then they take you away, but they're really just killing you. And she wore the really hot dress with slit open all the way down the side. And
you mean a prom dress?
No. Like, it was literally, like, it's a panel in the front and a panel in the back, and there's just a string that holds it shut.
You're describing prom dresses.
Oh, God. Don't tell me that. I haven't been to a prom in a while. Okay. So, anyway, yeah, no, Jenny Agutter. Other than that, Logan's Run and this movie, that's the only things I know her from. This one, 1981 is early for the 80s and early for me, and so I don't recognize...
really, the second year in the segment of the 80s?
Right, exactly.
Is early?
So the point...
I never would have guessed.
The point is that being that early, I was only 11 when this movie came out, and so therefore the stars have less chance of being as relevant to me nowadays. So, I mean, that's not always true, but yeah, even for me, that's pretty obscure stuff. That's it. Those are the only people I recognized at all. And you didn't recognize anybody, so.
All right, now, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm really excited for our next segment because it's never been like this.
Stuff you can't get away with today.
Nothing.
I know, it was fine.
You could get away with every, okay. Maybe upgrade the bear head a little, but.
Well, yeah, okay. Obviously they need a higher quality bear head. But yeah, no,
put like a top hat and a monocle on it.
The movie was not, you know, for being an 80s movie, did not contain, a whole lot of inappropriate, like non-PC sort of stuff. There was nothing horribly sexist or racist or...
They made a racist joke at the beginning, but they pointed out, it's like, oh, you can't say that, that's racist.
Oh, that's true, they did.
But, I mean, you can get away with that.
How progressive is that, right?
Yeah.
Even the porno movie rolling in the background...
Yeah.
...was, I mean, it was nothing but boobs. It wasn't like, I mean, there wasn't anything like, graphic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't horrifyingly graphic.
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah, it was nothing you couldn't do in a rated R movie nowadays.
Yeah.
So, and that nothing that, you know, isn't socially acceptable anymore. So, yeah, weird.
Yeah.
Okay, which then leads us to, okay, does it hold up?
I'd say about 60%.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, there was a lot of things that we made fun of now, and laughed at, but...
I would like to point out that when we do the does it hold up, we're not saying how good of a movie it is. We're saying, is it still a passable movie for movies today?
Right. Right. I mean, this is a movie that... Okay, so that leads us right into the next question, because the idea of... how would you remake this movie for today? And bear in mind that there was an American Werewolf in Paris that came out 20 years ago. So that's a remake, but that's not for today necessarily. No, but they did an American Werewolf in Paris, and it wound up being more of a traditional monster film,
right,
trying to do the horror aspects of it.
If I was going to remake this movie today, I would take out the...
Bearhead.
Well, no, the polarizing of the serious and the not serious.
Okay, you would take out the unevenness of tone,
right,
you think?
Because I feel like that, I don't think you could pull that off the same way now as you could back then.
I disagree to a point, although, do we do... Because nowadays, yeah, you don't do this mix of a horror movie that has a lot of comedy in it. If you do that, you're just doing a comedy movie that is a horror comedy.
Right.
As in, you know, nowadays it would be like doing Shaun of the Dead or Tucker and Dale versus Evil, where those are straight up comedy movies that are about a horror subject.
Right.
And they may have scary elements in them.
I think the closest you can get to a polarized horror film nowadays would be It that we just saw.
Yeah, I think he's right. Which It, by the way,
awesome. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. And
not
It had
for children, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. That's why Noah doesn't get to go see it. Not really for children. But it was a, yeah, that one was a horror movie that did have a lot of laugh out loud bits. But it wasn't because they were making fun of the scenario. It's because these were jokes and funny lines that occurred within the context of
right.
what, you know, of a realistic film, which, you know, was, I think, what American Werewolf was kind of going for.
Mm-hmm.
But
it came across to me as overly goofy.
I can see that. I can see toning it down, though. I can see if his best friend, if Jack, is a naturally funny guy, and that was, I think he was supposed to be the sarcastic wisecracker kind of guy. I think if he comes back to talk to you and haunt you, and he still is maintaining that same personality, and so he can be cracking off jokes that you know, are funny to the audience and funny to Jack, but not at all funny to David, who is horrified by the
right.
whole situation. I think I was a little taken aback when the other victims came to talk to him, and they should have been a lot creepier and a lot scarier and a lot angrier than they were.
The businessman was.
Yeah, they were. They tried to get there, but it didn't quite pull it off, I didn't think. I mean, look, the young newlywed or engaged couple or whatever they were, I thought they were a little too lighthearted. I thought it would have been cool if Jack could keep cracking jokes while the others were all basically just haunting him and terrorizing him. Mm. I would have liked that better. But yeah, I think you could remake it for today and not do like the Paris version. But should you? That's the next question. Would it be worthwhile, in your opinion, for someone to try to redo this nowadays?
Absolutely.
See, there you go.
For the first time, yeah, you should remake this movie.
All right.
Hollywood, I know you're listening. Get on it.
All right. Well, and I know that there's, when I looked it up on IMDb, I know I saw another entry for American Werewolf, but it didn't have a year on it, so I didn't know if it was like a project that was just in production, or if it was, anyway, I'm stalling for time because I'm trying to look it up again, because apparently I lost it. So you would think I would keep that, but American Werewolf, there we go. American Werewolf in London. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it's got no year listed on it. I don't even know what the hell this
there
is.
There was a one with, there were two of them with years.
No, there was Paris.
And London above that.
There was not a London above that. You're just making things up.
No, I wasn't.
This is... Oh. As she travels through the UK with her boyfriend, Alex is bitten by a werewolf in this remake of the 1981 classic. Huh. Oh. No. Oh, it's still in production. Okay, so they are remaking it. And they're remaking it with a lead... the lead American is a woman named Alex. Obviously in tribute to the nurse. So, there you go. So, someone's remaking it. Cool.
All right. Well, yes, you should remake it.
Yes, they should. I'm excited to see that version of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I think that would be very cool. All right. And then that leads us to... that's it.
Yeah.
That's all we've got. Yeah, you got any more commentary about this movie?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
All right. And then... Oh, look at that. That's R2. And this... This is going to be the Pod-O-Matic, and I'm not going to do the whole intro because, again, we're short on time. I'm just going to do one Pod-O-Matic just in case I don't get back to finish the show. This will be our one Pod-O-Matic, and it is number 27. And 27 comes from... Oh, it's from Stan. Oh, good. It's a bedwetter behead. And this bedwetter behead from Stan says, John Calvin, Martin Luther, or St. Augustine.
Which Martin Luther?
Martin Luther, the Martin Luther of the Lutheran Reformation.
Okay.
The Catholic Reformation. The Protestant, that's the word I'm looking for, Protestant Reformation, that founded Protestantism
yes,
and ultimately
yes.
Lutheranism. Okay, so, and then John Calvin is a very severe philosopher. Calvin.
I know the rest.
Okay, good. All right, well then, do you want to take a shot at it first, or do you want me to go first?
I feel... Mary Martin Luther.
Yes.
Kill John Calvin.
Yes.
And have my one night of passion with St. Augustine.
Yes. Do you know why?
You know my reasons. What are your reasons?
Okay. For me, I would have the exact same answer. John Calvin was a very severe and depressing man from what I know of him. I mean, I don't know anything about him personally. I just know his philosophies and, oh God, get rid of that dude. But Martin Luther, yeah, okay. Look, he obviously was very serious about his religion. He was serious about loosening up the Catholic faith and it was, yeah, okay. He's the Marian kind, I suppose, of these three at least. But St. Augustine, now if I can get St. Augustine before his big conversion, his come to Jesus moment, as it were, he was apparently a freak in his youth.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a lot of sins to atone for, once he found his calling. And so, man, if I could catch him in that phase, then, okay, that would be the guy for the bed. Sure, I could do that.
Yeah.
All right, see? All right, there well. We go. All good. And then that is it. I'm going to, you know what, should I do the credits now? Or should I, you know what, I'm going to do, in case this is the end of the podcast, then, you know what, this has been my show. It's Copyright 2017. I love you guys. You're awesome. And I will see you next week. Goodbye.